redeemed of the Lord say so. The Lord is good. God is good. And all the time, God is good. You belong to, most of you belong to Victory Church of God. We have some non-optional principles that we speak about. We have some basic convictions. And our non-optional principles, number one, talks about the Bible. Number two, talks about purpose, God's purpose for you, for me, for His creation. Number three, talks about marriage, our marriages. Number four, talks about our money. Number five, talks about what? Our body. Conviction number five. Conviction number five. What does it say? My body is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Holy Spirit, the temple of God, and it must not be defiled by the lust of this world. Now, in reading our convictions, these are convictions that we are supposed to take and build into our lives. We have to build them into our lives. Now, it's my responsibility to share them with you. It's your responsibility to go home and make sure that what is shared is really so. It's from the Word of God. And then once you have seen it there, then it's your responsibility and mine to build it as a conviction into your own life. I cannot build a conviction in your life for you. I can only build a conviction in my life for me. So the responsibility of experiencing God does not come from anyone else but from you and your relationship with God. It comes from you and your participation with God through His Spirit. It comes from you and God and you. See, that's one wonderful thing about Christianity. It's not about what the other person. It's all about you and God. Because God is very personal. And He deals with us on a very personal level. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't have any relationship, of course, with the rest of the family. But it means that it does not depend, basically, my relationship with God and my fellowship with God does not have to be hindered by things that you do and vice versa. Isn't that wonderful? That's good. So this way that, you know, we have no one to really point the finger at but ourselves. If things are not working, you know, then we need to work them ourselves, okay, with us and our God. So we've got to build these convictions into our lives. Now, we can have these seven convictions and these non-optional principles and all these wanting to develop the character of God within us or bring out the character of God within us. And of course, again, it's all personal. Something that you have to do. You have to do between you and your God. Now, part of my responsibility is to help you to see and to understand these principles. Remember, you apply them yourselves, but as I explain certain things, it's not my responsibility to give you revelation on anything, because I'm not the Holy Spirit. He is the teacher. He's the one who would give you revelation of what is shared, what is said in the Word. But He has ordained me, basically, and, you know, He has given apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, you know, we get up, we share. He gives us certain things. You know, when I have to share the Word, I would ask Him, you know, what are we doing this week? Normally, I'm doing a series of messages. I don't just do a topic and then, you know, I follow a series. And I also try a lot to stay close or focus on the principles that we have, the things that our church is built around, the purpose, plan, and design of God, His objective. We try to get those things in place. So I try to share principles and and to help explain these principles. Now, why is it important to explain principles? It's important to explain principles because sometimes, you know, let me give you an example. Presidents do it. Kings and queens do it. Christians do it. Muslims do it. Hindus do it. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about prayer. Presidents do it. All kinds of people do it. Yet few people who do it really believe it works. Christians do it. They don't believe it works. You want to know how I know that? Just check the daily lives. Check the prayer meeting. Christians would rather come on a Sunday, you know, if you had a church of 50 or 5,000. Very few churches. When they call the prayer meeting is as filled as the regular Sunday celebration service. Now, if you agree with what I'm saying, just say amen. You can agree because we know that to be a fact. That's a truth. So, why is it then that if so many people, presidents and kings and priests and Hindus and Muslims and Christians and all these people believe that this thing works, why is it that so many of us do it so not so often? Well, it's a simple reason to it. It's because we don't think it works. It is a ritual that we go through, but we don't think it works. Are you surprised at that? You're not surprised at that, right? Because, you know, in general, and I challenge you to go to any church, you know, whether the church is 50 people or 25,000 people or 5,000 people, and look at the prayer meeting and see how many people attend the prayer meeting. Some churches get 90% of the people going to prayer meeting, but majority of churches you get a very small percentage. And the reason why is because, you know, people have known about prayer, but people don't really understand what prayer is. Just like your body and my body, conviction number 5, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and must not be defiled by the lust of the world. This is taken directly from the Word of God. And we have made it into one of our convictions for the church so that we can build it into our lives. And most people don't understand the purpose for the body. Now, that may seem strange to you, but I'll explain. Most people don't understand the purpose for the body of Christ. Most people don't understand the purpose for your gathering together this morning. Some of you sure understand those principles, but in general, most people don't understand it. People flock into churches on Sunday morning, you know, and they go to church, you know, you see them do something like this. You see them walk to church puffing on a cancer stick. And before they go into the building, they'll put it out. They don't dare walk into that building smoking that cigarette. Is that true? Why do you think that is? See, they don't understand the purpose for the building. They don't understand the purpose for the body. They will quicker contaminate the body than the building. They have more reverence for the building than they do for the body. Why? Simply because we don't know. We don't understand. You know, and I can get here and I preach to you and tell you that you shouldn't smoke or drink or cuss or fight. You know, I can tell you these things, you know, and I can preach these things to you, but do you have an understanding as to why you shouldn't do those things? You know, do you know why? Do you have an awe and reverence for God that you would respect Him that much, and you won't dare do that to your body? See, but if I don't understand, if I don't understand the purpose of a thing, then I would abuse the thing. If I don't understand why I'm here, then I'm going to abuse this building, myself, you. You know, that's just the way it works. Where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. Now, I want to share something with you. I want to talk today about a divine carrier. A divine carrier. You and me. A divine carrier. You know, you have carriers that carry certain things. You and I carry a divine life that's on the inside of us. I want to talk about that today. See, when we talk about God, I can say certain things to you about God. I can say certain things to you about prayer. I can say certain things to you about the body being the temple of the Holy Spirit. I can talk about certain purposes of God and convictions and so on. It's important for me that you understand. If you walk out of here, and when you walk out of here, you know, you feel good because the music was good. You feel good because you know, you met with some of the brothers and sisters for the week. You feel good because you feel like, you know, I feel a lot better than when I walked in the building. For many different reasons, you might feel good, and that's fine. I'm glad and appreciative that you feel that way. But the most important thing for me is that you walk out of here saying that, you know, I heard what was said in the Word, and I understood what was said. You know, you may not have agreed with it, but at least you have understood what was said. If you do that, then I feel good. Because I feel like I have accomplished what God has placed me here to do, to express, to declare, not to reveal, because He's the one by His Spirit that gives revelation, but to express and to give information, to explain things, to say things. As you are tuned in with your spirit, you know that you only have one teacher, that's the Holy Spirit. He's going to take the word that you're hearing, the word that you continue in and meditate upon, and then He's going to change you into that word. He's going to make that word a part of you. Now, here's how it works. Here's how it works. When a person is born again, when a person is born again, that person's spirit is all reborn. It's brand new. That person is a new creation. The Bible says, old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. So that person has a brand new rebirth or reborn spirit. That spirit possesses all the ingredients that God has. That spirit has the love of God and the peace of God and the joy of God and the faith of God, and it has all those wonderful things. However, when God speaks to us, I give you this example. When God speaks of man, and God speaks about two men, we call them the first Adam and the last Adam. God speaks of those two men, two Adams. Now, in the first Adam, when the first Adam was created, when he was brought on the scene, the first Adam was given the responsibility to function and flow in everything that God has designed. And God had a purpose in mind. His purpose was to take that man, He created the physical earth for him, to take that man, put him on this physical earth, and then allow that man to really draw from him so that that man can really duplicate everything that is in God's realm on this earth. That was God's original intent and purpose. In order for the man to do that, he had to, first of all, respond to God. God told him all that he could do, gave him one negative command, told him not eat of the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden. The story, he went ahead, he ate that fruit. He was disobedient to what was said. When he was disobedient, you and I really were not there, but yet we were in his loins. See, so when he disobeyed and he died, in that he had a fallen nature, and that fallen nature, every one of us who are born, or everyone who is born into that family, everyone is born with that nature. So we are all born spiritually dead. I'm not saying anything that you don't know, right? You understand that, you know that. We talk about this all the time. So if you're born spiritually dead, you're dead. Now, though you are dead spiritually, your mind is still being influenced by everything that's in the natural world. Yes? Okay, so when, because the first Adam failed, God knew he was going to fail, and God had already prepared the second or last Adam. Now, when the last Adam came, the last Adam, of course, did the opposite to what the first Adam did. He was obedient. Now, the obedience that we're talking about is between two. It's between the first Adam and the last Adam. I want you to pay attention to this. I'm going to get to my point someplace down the road, you know, but I'm going to get there. I just want to give you some background. The obedience is between two people. It was between the first Adam and the last Adam. Now, you and I were disobedient by virtue of the fact that we were born disobedient. The nature that we had was the one that was fallen, the one that disobeyed. You and I, when we came into this thing, you know, we sinners, we were born a people who really were part of that that spirit that this first Adam had actually adopted. So we were born incapable of keeping the very law of God. Is that true? Okay. Now, what did you do to be disobedient? Say it again. What did you do to be disobedient? Nothing. You were simply born into this. Get me? Now, the last Adam came, and he, by virtue of his obedience, say his obedience. His obedience, he undid what the first Adam did. Now, the same way that you and I partook of what the first Adam did, it's the same way you and I must partake of what the last Adam has done. So we are, once we become what we call born a second time, or born from above, or born again, once that happens to us, then there is placed within us the nature to be obedient. And the nature to be disobedient is taken from us. However, when you were born, though your spirit or your nature was dead, your mind absorbed all the stuff, so there were patterns that were left on your mind. So now, once you become born again in spirit, God says, now I beg you now, brothers and sisters, understand now that you have to renew your mind, because your mind still have these patterns that have to be washed away, have to be renewed. Now, don't confuse
those patterns with your nature. Your nature
is brand new. You with me?
So the intent and the purpose of God, now that you are born again, is not simply to work on you so that you be obedient.
You didn't get that. Let me say it again.
It is not about your obedience, even though God intends for you to be obedient because of that nature that's in you. It's not about being obedient. It's about being transformed in the mind. It's about removing those patterns in the mind that causes you to act in disobedience. You with me here? Stay with me. So God is not coming around giving you all these rules and saying, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. Because that's not the way He operates. Unfortunately, we were brought up in religion. And religion taught us that. Don't do this, don't drink, don't smoke, don't cuss, don't fight, don't do this, don't. And you know, all you got to do is say, don't. And when you say, don't, you know, somehow, we end up doing. I don't know why, but you say don't, and we seem to want to do. And that's the problem. That's what has been the problem in the church for the longest while. Ever since I have been in the church, that has been the problem. And it's always been trying to get people, don't do this, don't do that. Don't. You know, and when our young people are real. They just say, well, enough of that. Because even though the older folks would find that they have problems, they would still kind of tough it out. You know, it's like divorce. Don't tell me that our older folks didn't have problems with divorce. They had the same kind of problems that we younger folks today are having. But a lot of them just toughed it out. They remained married, even though the marriage wasn't going too well. They remained married. Today, young folks are going to say, why do I have to put up with that? They're gone. Am I being real here? Everybody's understanding what I'm saying. I'm not trying to get you to make a judgment on anyone or any situation. That's not the case. We're just trying to explain things so that we can understand, and when we know and we understand, we could deal with them. You know, we could even help our younger people to deal with them. You know what I'm saying, right? Thank you. We want to eliminate that pattern that's in the mind, that mindset. Good, right? Now, I'm talking about a divine carrier. You see, God, I was saying before, I'm all over the place here, but just bear with me. I was saying before that man, that you know, all these people, all these religions and all these different people do prayer, but they don't really believe in prayer. And one of the reasons, even Christians, now, it's not that Christians it's not that they don't really believe that it's not going to work. I don't think that it is. I think what it is that Christians have just not seen it work enough. Talking about the general church. Now, I might not be talking about you, because you might have seen all your prayers answered, which is great. Or you might see at least 70% of your prayers answered. So you might be feeling okay. You say, well, no, I believe in prayer. Okay, but majority, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about people who don't go to prayer service. You know, because they don't go to prayer service because nothing happens in prayer service anyway. You know, what we do is that we get a group of a small group of people and that come to the prayer meeting, that usually they are people who don't have anything to do. So they go to prayer meeting. But not me. I've got something to do. Help me, Lord. Help me. I want to stay on point. I want to get the point that the Lord wants me to get across to you. Because it's all about, I'm talking about the body. Conviction number 5. Right? That's what I want to get to, about this divine carrier. That's what I want to get to. But I want to set some background for us to understand. You know, we need to understand. We need to walk out the door saying, yeah, I don't agree with it, but I certainly understand that. You know? And it's because once you understand it, then at least you can put it to work, right? You know what I'm saying, right? Okay. So, you know, God, you know, when we ask when it comes to prayer, you know, because we don't expect the world to understand prayer, but when we come to the church, we realize that the church, a lot of times, the church is confused concerning prayer. The church asks these questions. If God is sovereign, and he's got the whole plan under control, then why pray? If God is sovereign and supreme and divine and don't need us, then why pray? If que sera, sera. If whatever will be. If that's the case, then let's just go on in life, because whatever would be, would be. We think like that, you know, and so when we think like that, then we say, oh no, it can't be. There must be more to this prayer. Or we say, well, prayer, you know, you talk to someone and they say, well, what is prayer? And they say to you, well, prayer, well, prayer is simply talking to God. If prayer is simply talking to God, I can't understand why the disciples would go to Jesus and say, teach us to pray. I mean, Jesus would simply answer, prayer is just talking to God. Just talk to the Father. Are you with me yet? So prayer is not simply just talking to God. Because Jesus didn't say that is what it was. He went into a whole dissertation, a whole sermon, to talk about what it was. To give them a method and a pattern to follow in order to do this thing. So why would he spend the time to explain those things? Because if he explained it to them, perhaps they would recognize the importance and the value of it. Well, God explains a whole lot of stuff to us. Why do you have this body? Why do you have a body? If you don't have a body, then you don't belong here. God is spirit. He doesn't have a body. Not a terrestrial or earthly body as we know. Demons are spirits. They don't have terrestrial bodies. That's why they've been fighting you so hard to get yours. Angels don't have bodies. They appear as men sometimes. They don't have terrestrial bodies like we have. Why do we have? We have bodies because we belong here. If you don't have a body, you don't belong here. Are you with me? God, in his wisdom, decided that he was going to create a planet called Earth. And then he was going to put a man on Earth. And then he wanted this man on Earth to be able to conduct affairs on Earth just like affairs are conducted in heaven. Now, when you read the prayer that the Lord taught his disciples to pray, you read that, right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done where? How? So you and I know God's purpose. You can see God's purpose. You can see God's plan. You can understand God's mind. Because He's giving us insight into it. He wants us to know. So he's saying, you know, in order for the man to really have control and dominion on the earth, I have to give him a body. So anything that does not have an earthly body would be in an illegal state in the earth. That means God would be in an illegal state in the earth unless He has a body. Oh, Jesus. Do you remember in the garden? Do you remember the man? The woman took the fruit. She bit into it. Then she gave it to her husband for him to eat. And don't you think God, who is so sovereign, who knows all things, who is so wise, who knows the problems that would come if they ate of that fruit, don't you think it would be just wise for him to hit that fruit out of her hand and say, don't do that? Are you crazy? But he didn't do that. And the reason why he didn't do that was because he limited himself in the earth. He said, if man is going to control the earth, I've got to have a body. If you don't have a body, then you can't control the earth. Are you with me here? You have to have a body. Stay with me. Get to conviction number 5. You have to have a body. God needed a body. Because this is the declaration of God. You know, Psalm 138, verses 2 and 3 tells us that God has elevated or magnified His word above His very self. His very name. His very self. In other words, God is sovereign until He opens His mouth. When God opens His mouth, then what comes out of God's mouth becomes the sovereign. Are you with me here? When God created man, He opened His mouth and He decreed something. He made a declaration. He says, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion over all the works of my hands. So God made a decree. God said, let them. Now God did not say, let us, them and us. He says, let them have dominion. So who had the dominion on the earth? Adam, he had the dominion. Of course, we know he messed up, right? He forfeited that to someone else. But the bottom line is that God gave him the dominion. So it would really have been illegal for God to go to Eve and swap that thing out of her hand and say, don't eat that fruit. Because God gave them dominion. Are you all right with this? If God is going to have control in the earth, He needs a body. So He prophesied and predicted from the Old Testament, from Genesis, says the woman is going to create that body. In all of the prophets and the Psalms, they all prophesied and predicted the coming of this body. Did you read it? Sure. Jesus, when He came, He says, search the scriptures, all the Old Testament scriptures, for they testify of me. They talk about my coming. So everyone was looking, you know, for the coming of this body. Why this body? Because this body was the way that God was going to be able to get into the earth and take the dominion back from the one who usurped it from Satan, from Adam, who is Satan. But remember, He decreed the law. He said, No one without a body can have dominion in the earth. So that's why he couldn't. He limited himself to his word. He decreed something, and then he abode by what he decreed. See how important words are? See how important it is to have a body? Because Jesus, when he came in the book of Hebrews, he said, sacrifices and burnt offerings you did not desire, but a body. Then he says, lo, I am come to do thy will, O God. What did God do? He prophesied it. He says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The whole of the Old Testament is preparing for this. The body that is going to come out of the woman, from the woman, but the life or the seed in that body would be the life of Christ. So we have now Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Christ. It's Christ in the body. The spiritual Christ in the physical body. Now remember, Christ is the Spirit of God. So that was God's way of getting back into the earth so that he could get dominion and take the dominion back from the enemy. That's why Jesus said, he said, all power in heaven and on earth is given to me. Isn't that wonderful? Glory to God. Jesus went to the cross. He died. It was the man that died, not the Christ. Christ can't die. But it was the body, the man. The man died and went to the grave. The Christ went into the underworld. Did what he had to do. And then he came back and he said, okay, in order for me to be legal in the earth, I need to get back in the body. So that body that was sown was resurrected. And Christ back into the body. And then he met with his disciples and he talked with his disciples, and then he said to them something like this. You know, it's advantageous for you for me to go. I got to go to my Father. But I will not leave you as an orphan. I'm coming back. He says, I'm coming back. I won't leave you comfortless as an orphan. So what did he do? He breathed on them. Received the Holy Spirit. And then they saw him go up, and they were gazing, and two angels stood by them and said, men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing? Listen, this same, finish it for me. This same Jesus, not the same Christ, Jesus, the one that they saw going up, this same Jesus is going to come again. He's going, and he's going to be seated at his right hand of the Father, but he's going to send back Christ. He's going to send back the Spirit, because see, the Father, Christ, and the Word, they're all one. So he's going to send back the Spirit. And when the Spirit comes, now the Spirit is going to come and live on the inside of you and me, the body of Christ. You see, because without us, he would be illegal. Man, don't you know who you are? Without that body, God can't come into the earth and fulfill his stuff. That means without us, God would not. Without him, we cannot. So the body, the body is supposed to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. The body is the place where Christ has come to dwell. You are God's hands. You are God's eyes. You are God's feet. You are God's everything. You are His body. Now, this is why Jesus said, you know, when He talked about the Lord's Supper, some folks don't understand the implements, why these things are still allowed in this time. They're still allowed in this time because we still live in a fallen world. When you take the Lord's Supper, that has something to do with the body of Christ.
The same thing with your giving. The same thing with your tithe and your first fruits. It's purpose behind everything. It's purpose behind everything. Because when you get your money, for example, when you get your money, where do you get your money from? You get it from the world and from the world system. Most of us in here work in the world system. When we get our monies, from the world system. Well, the principle of tithing and offering is so that you can sanctify that money. It's the only reason. You know, when Christ returns, there'll be no need for you to sanctify anything. So that time you don't have to tithe. You don't have to do any of that stuff. You will not have to. Right now, though we be redeemed, we're still living in a fallen world. We still need to take the Lord's Supper because your body and my body will still decay. It still is getting older. But that principle and that process that we learn, we receive, is simply to retard the aging process, to slow it down. Everybody here knows that we get older. If you don't think so, look at your photos from when you were in high school. You know what I mean, right? See all the young kids, they also dash and look so cool and everything. Wait a few more years and you're going to look like me. Unfortunately, the process still takes place. The decay is still here. The curse is still in the land. You see, but we are delivered from that. We are redeemed from that. So God has made provisions for us so that we could be excluded from some of those things. That's why if you can discern the body of Christ, then you will not be weak. You will not be sickly. You will not die before your time. Why do these things happen? It says, for this reason, because we do not discern the Lord's body. That's taking the Lord's Supper. We don't understand what it's for. All these things that God has set up, we don't understand what they're for. But we read things and we take things, we go with them and we run with them. But if you will take the time to let the Holy Spirit give you the understanding of it. Because I can read something and you can read something and both of us can come up with the wrong interpretation. But there is only one interpretation. There's no private interpretation to the word. Only one. The Holy Spirit is the one. I cannot give you revelation. Only the Holy Spirit could do that. I explain things. I declare things. I talk things that God says to me. I try the best sometimes to explain things. Sometimes I'm saying stuff and I mix up my words. Sometimes I say something that's not all right because I mixed up the words, even though in my heart I knew what I wanted to say. Well, that's still the human element that I'm dealing with here, see? However, the Holy Spirit is the one who says you don't have to be concerned about that, because as long as you are principled enough to take that word and meditate upon it and study it for yourself, I will give you the revelation of it. And then you would be even wiser than your teachers. Ah, Lord, help us. I'm talking about the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Because I understand the body, because I understand that God is not legal unless He's in a body. What is my purpose? When Jesus taught His disciples to pray, He said, pray like this: Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done. How is it going to be done? It has to be done through the body of Christ. You and I have to declare God's word. You and I have to be so hooked up to God. That means if you don't understand your purpose, if all you do is just get up and go to work, and you don't understand why you're here, you don't understand who you are, you don't understand that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, you don't understand what God has planned for you. If you don't understand these things, then you are simply going to abuse your life here on the earth. Abuse it in that you would have abnormal use of it. Are you with me here? You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God makes himself legal with his body. It's what Jesus said. The disciples, he says, you know, tarry here in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Holy Spirit came on the inside and flooded them and filled them. So now they can begin to work and walk according to what is declared. Now, let me again re-emphasize to you, lest you try and go take the Bible and then take it and use it as a rule book and then make all these laws and then try to keep the laws, keep the laws, keep the laws. That's not what we're talking about. Right? That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is Bible speaks of the process of meditation. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, if you use the New International, you see that word is translated keep. It says obey. That's not quite what the meaning is. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that you're not supposed to obey. That's not quite what the meaning is. The meaning simply is, if you would keep the word before your eyes. Because it's a quotation from the Old Testament. Keep the word before your eyes. He has promised that if you would keep the word before your eyes, in other words, if you would meditate upon it, what would happen? It says, then you would be able to observe to do. It is God who works in me both to will and to do. It's not me willing and me doing, but it's God who is working in me. You get that? That's right. We just rest. We just rest. Oh, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in this body, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Whose faith? Not yours. By the faith of the Son of God. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Whose peace? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Whose joy? The joy of the Lord. We need to rest, folks. We need to relax and rest. Because all that you and I do, we do by the grace of God. And the grace is we have received. And God says this. He says, I resist the proud, but I give grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. He will exalt you in due season. All you and I have to do is simply learn how to humble ourselves. Take the word of God and meditate on it. And meditate on it. And continue on it. Make songs with it. Just musical notations. And love the Lord through that. And allow the Holy Spirit to take that and change us into it. Rest. 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 He that has entered into his rest has ceased from all his sweaty work. You need to rest. Rest. It's not about your obedience. It's about his. He has already satisfied the Father with his obedience. Now, your responsibility and mine is to rest in it. Humble ourselves. Take his word and focus on it. Now, Holy Spirit, you set to muse upon this. Meditate on this. I'm meditating on it. Speak it back to him. Speak to the King in the language of his written word. speak to him in the language of an unknown tongue. Speak to him. Let him take the word and then work it in your life. Listen, what's going to happen is that that nature that's on the inside of you, see, you're going to be a divine carrier now. The nature that is on the inside of you finally erases the pattern that's in the mind. And now the mind and the nature come together. And the next thing you know, that's the abundance that's in your heart. Out of the abundance in your heart, of your heart, your mouth begins to speak, and your actions, you begin to walk that out. You become a carrier. You become a carrier of the mind of God, a carrier of the will of God, a carrier of the personality of God. You become like God in the earth. Now see, listen, that's not as so far-fetched, you see, because that's what Jesus did. Jesus said, they said, show us the Father. Have I been so long time with you and you don't know me? If you see me, you see the Father. If you don't believe me, believe the very works. Believe the very works, because the works are not mine, but it's the work that the Father does. It's all in the Word. It's all over. I just love this. I love this book. It's all over here. Every scripture comes alive. It comes alive. It's real. It's real. It's real. I don't understand for the life of me how some people could be bored. I am just so bored. There's nothing to do. Of course there's nothing to do. This word is not working for you. Oh God, help us. My body is a temple of the... I don't want here some place. But I'll take that. Thank you. Am I perspiring that much? I must be working today. I don't... Yeah, right. You know, I don't like preaching, but I must be preaching today, right? Yeah, oh Jesus, help us soon. Lord, help us. So, God says, when you pray, pray like this. Right? He didn't say, recite these words. Right? But that's what we do, right? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, be recited. Everybody could recite it. Nobody knows what it means. Or I should say, hardly anyone understands what he was saying. He wasn't saying, learn how to recite this prayer. He was saying, understand the method behind it. Our Father. See, because now you're a carrier. You've got the Spirit of God in you. You are a carrier of the very nature of God. Peter tells us that you are a carrier of that nature. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We always give God his reference. He is hallowed be thy name. Abba, Father. He's our source. Abba, our Father. Abba, Father. Abba means source. He is our source. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. That's what God said from the beginning. Let us make man in our image, our likeness. Let them have dominion over all the works of our hands. That means the dominion was given to him. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in this earth just like it is in heaven. I can't be done without you. You member of the family. Can't be done without you. God will not do it without you. He would be illegal in the earth. I mean, you know, when you make statements like that, you say God would be illegal in the earth. Some people say, the audacity of you talking about God being illegal. This stupidness, garbage is that, God being illegal. Well, read the whole thing. God made himself illegal. God subjected himself to his own will.
God, we read it in Psalm 138, verses 2 and 3. It says, I elevated my word above my very self. That's why when God speaks, it becomes wrong. To understand more of God. You know, just get, listen, I'm telling you, the more you meditate on God's word, see, usually it's the little things. You're in a local house here. In our local house, there are a lot of things that we do need to get into that we don't get into. But there's some simple things that we try to talk about all the time. We talk about who you are, your righteousness in God, that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. We try to talk about you being in Christ. We try to talk a lot about some basic convictions. You know, talk to you about getting the Word of God to be the final authority for your life. Understanding God's purpose in your life. You know, just understand that your marriage is important to God. You know, understand that your money is important to God. That your body is His temple. That you become a carrier of the very anointing and presence of God. So now if God is going to expand His kingdom, all He has to do is to pick you up from here and place you over there. Because when you go over there, then you are carrying the kingdom of God with you. Well, the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation, but it is within you. If we want to talk about evangelism, that's kingdom evangelism. Wherever God moves you, and you become a carrier of that, you go on your job, before long, the whole job should be converted. School, go to college. We have some young men in college now that are doing some really good things. They're having a tough time too, so some of you, don't forget to drop them a little text message or a little card or something. Maybe put a little $20 in it. Tell them, go out and buy some ice cream. Ooh. Hola, young people. And even the ones that are not in college, the ones that are here. Don't you think it's a good thing? You don't think you should walk up to them, just give you a nice Pentecostal handshake? Right? Be a nice Pentecostal handshake, put something nice in your hand every so often, you know. Yes? I agree. Great investment. We become the carriers. Thing about this is we did not make ourselves like that, God. So we're not boasting about anything that we've done. It's all by the grace of God. Even your obedience is done by grace. The Apostle Paul says, "Since I work more than all of the other apostles," then he qualifies, he says, "yet not I, but the grace of God that works in me." I'm telling you, God has made it so easy. Not so I could understand what He means that I am more than a conqueror. Because Christ conquered it. Then He gave it all to us by grace. Now we are more than conquerors. Stand with me. Carry out your perfect